Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bubble Boy in the studio with me here as well, and also via the web. We are connected with Pete from Scuba Board and also Jerry the Diver Guys in the mountains of Virginia. And we're trying to connect with another friend of mine, a blast from the past, Casey, but I'm not sure if we got him connected. I don't know. Jerry, talk to me here. What's going on there in the web world? Do we got Casey connected? Is he hearing what's going on, or do you know?
I think he can talk, but he can't hear us.
Oh, well, then that's a problem, isn't it? So we'll work out this little technical glitch and get him on at the next segment. So, Casey, if you can't hear me, just stand by. You know, when you're putting, you know, two tin cans and a string together, sometimes things don't come together as effectively as we would like, but we will try to make it work and connect with Casey because, I don't know, he was around, he was part of Scuba Radio back in the very, very beginning of doing this goofy little show, you know, in the spring of 1997. And he reached out to me, well, I don't know, a few months ago, and then he did again this week when he saw me on Sharknado. Because he's like, hey, that dude owes me money. He's obviously making big bucks now. I can hit him up again, and maybe he'll finally pay me. But yeah, let's talk about some other stuff. You know, we kind of covered lobster season and that kind of thing, but I want to bring Pete back on from Scuba Board. And Pete, you know, I know you were diving, but if I got you right, you were complaining about the keys and diving during mini season because you can get lobsters. Well, you can get six lobster a day. That's the limit in Florida for Monroe County. But in other parts of the state, at least on mini season, you can get 12. So there's really no incentive for the people that live in Monroe County to go lobstering. Is that what you were telling me before we went on the air today, or what?
Yeah, don't take it as a complaint now. I'm okay. Not complaining. I'm stating the facts that while everyone else gets double the limit during mini season, Monroe does not.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get bigger lobster elsewhere, not as many boats. You know, I love the Keys. I think it's a great place to dive, but diving here during mini season with all the traffic, boat as well as car, is kind of nuts.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. And, you know, it's one of those things like on New Year's Eve, you leave the drinking to the amateurs. And that's kind of what you're saying about mini season, it sounds like to me, as a Florida Keys local. Okay, is that a better way to put it, maybe?
Exactly. I mean, we had deaths before and after mini season from people driving their boats into pylons for, you know, and like I jokingly say, but it's true, there's too many Captain Morgans and Ensign Budweisers out on the
out on the water. Yeah, so those are the days to avoid, holidays, that kind of thing. But what about when it comes to the size of the bugs? We were talking about this a little bit in hour one, and I have seen it, and I know you know this as well, that the bugs have a tendency to be smaller in the Keys compared to other parts in the state, especially as you work your way up the coast. And I know they migrate, and they usually come from south to north, from what I understand, when they're doing lobster walks and things like that. And I guess maybe if they don't get caught in South Florida or the Keys and they get further north where there's less divers, they have a tendency to last longer and live longer and get bigger. Is that it in a nutshell, or could there be more to this sizing issue?
Yeah, I'm not so sure that that's the case. I think we get bigger ones further up north because they tend to be deeper.
Yeah.
And
less accessible, I guess.
Less accessible.
Right.
Down here, I mean, we have fairly normal sized lobster. However, my biggest ever caught was 16 pounds, 4 ounces out of Canaveral.
What? You actually caught one of those?
Yeah, and actually the record is like 21 pounds.
Yeah, but 16 pounds, man, that is massive.
Dude, I have scars on my hand from the guy. I mean, it was a fight.
So, I want to hear this story. You know, I've talked to a few people over the years that have caught a monster lobster anywhere from 11 pounds higher. And they do. They say, first of all, a lobster that big is too big to fit in any kind of lobster hotel or
That's
bag.
That's true.
So you have to manhandle it to the surface and just kind of like literally bear hug it. And as you do that, a lobster that big actually can bite. They could bite through your wetsuit and with his, I don't know what they have for a mouth there, but it can leave a little mark or like a sting kind of thing. Is that, do you remember anything like that? Or?
It's not the mouth. It's all the sharp edges.
Okay. Just like
when I caught this guy, we had an Arctic upwelling. It was like 80 degrees on the surface and you got the 50th foot. It was like diving through mud. Oily mud, and it was like 49 degrees. Mm. Everything on the reef was stunned, and so was Lobzilla. And I mean, I was ready to do battle with him, and he just came out. I couldn't get him in my lobster bag, so I just stuck him to my chest and swam up.
Yeah.
And I was on a private boat.
Yeah.
Coming up under the boat, there is a, I see the boat right there. It's great to see him. I was right up under him. Mm-hmm. I started to do my safety stop when he warmed up and woke up. Oh, and then hell broke loose.
So wait a minute. So you're saying you picked up the lobster and he was kind of like in a comatose state because the water was so cold?
Yeah, he was everything on the reef. I had actually caught a rather nice size black grouper with my hands, just tuck him in my bag.
Get out.
You know, everything was stunned. Well, you know, think about it. They're not used to 49-degree water.
Well, yeah, who is? Come on.
So, I had an ice cream headache the whole dive. And so I take this thing up, and it warms up to the point where now it starts to go, hey, what the hell? This is not where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it starts kicking me in the groin area, which didn't feel good, but then everything started moving. Hmm. And I came up and actually just sort of pried him off my chest, which ripped a lot of the neoprene. I never wore that wetsuit again.
Yeah.
And into the boat where I heard the thump, ga thump, ga thump splash. I go, no. And I look, and the guy who owned the boat was in the water. What the hell did you throw in my boat? You know, because he wasn't expecting to have Lobzilla land on him.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of funny. We climbed back into the boat. And,
You threw the lobster in the boat and he jumped out scared to death?
So big it scared him out of the boat.
Dude, it was a 16-pound lobster.
Well, true. That is, big. Wow.
Anyway, the funny part is we're coming in, FWC, you know, they're doing their little interdiction, seeing how everyone does, and they asked me, and I didn't go back down. I was done for the day. I was bleeding. I was cut up. My wetsuit, it was too cold. Forget it. You guys go keep diving for lobster. I got mine.
Yeah.
You know?
And a grouper.
And a grouper.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, so as we come in, FWC is there, and they say, okay, do you guys catch anyone? They asked each one of us. I said, well, I only caught one. Mm. And Chris says, well, is it legal? I said, well, it's close. So I had to pull this guy up. And he's still a little, you know, he's been out the longest, but he's still living. Wow. And, I mean, it was just great. I got my picture in the paper that week.
I bet. Year. Well, yeah, what year was that? How long ago?
2002-ish.
Really? Okay. That's pretty
sweet. One, two, or three, somewhere in there.
Yeah. I've had the dream of, well, I've had two lobster dreams. One is the lobster walk, which I have experienced, and that was just phenomenal. Didn't get any pictures, which I could have kicked myself for, but I marked that one off the list, but I've always wanted to catch like a 10-pound-plus lobster. And I've never had that opportunity to see one that massive under the water where I could actually snag them. But I've heard these stories like that. They sound like a challenge, but it just sounds like something you got to do. And I got to ask, I assume you ate this lobster. Am I right, Pete? You ate the whole thing?
I did, and if I ever catch one that big, I'd probably let him go.
Yeah.
Because they produce a lot of babies. It was probably female. Yeah. But if I ever get one big that I do decide to cook again, I'm going to fillet it. Not just fillet it, but cut it up. Because when you try and cook the whole tail at once, the outside's overcooked, the inside's undercooked.
Ah, okay. So it's tough to cook. But, you know, you hear this thing, like, all these big lobsters, the bigger they are, the they don't taste as good. They're all tough and stuff. And I think it's just a matter of how you cook them.
It is. It tasted great. It was just like, it was obviously overcooked on the outside and undercooked on the inside. So somewhere in the middle, it was super.
Mm-hmm. With a little butter and lemon, a little oregano. Oh, God, I'm getting hungry. We got a long break during this. I think I got some frozen lobster. There you go. More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Kevin Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Ariel, you're under a lot of pressure down here.
Scuba diver in the lock.
Man, I wish I could really drive this thing.
Speedboat driver on the dock.
We're here. Turn on the ignition.
Sailplane pilot in the blue. Take me up there with you. The world looks brighter from this high altitude.
Awesome.
There are sailboats throughout this brilliant sky, but you cannot pick them out. If you can't fly, I'm glad the earth doesn't care. I go up there, if you want to, just ask me and I'll take you along.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master in the studio with Bubble Boy. And via the web, we have Pete from Scuba Board. In the mountains of Virginia, there's Jerry the Diver Guy. And now, I believe, we have connected with Casey, an old-time friend of Scuba Radio. And we're going to see if we can make this work. Casey, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, Greg. Can
Perfect.
You hear me?
I hear you. You hear me. That's all we need to do then. Things are...
This new technology you've built from Scuba Radio ground up is wonderful.
Well, you know, I'll take full credit for it, even though I had nothing to do with it. That's just how I roll. But how are you, Casey?
Wait a minute. How do you get rated for this?
What do you mean? You take credit for all you can. Come on. That's how you get ahead in life.
We all know Greg is the master of all things scuba, so...
Okay, we'll see. And Casey's the master of brown nosing. So, hey, we...
And he can bait a mean hook.
Yeah, okay. Let's just leave that alone. All right, so, Casey, long time no chat. And
right.
I know, you know, you have been a little bit out of the business for a few years. Now you're starting to get back into it and doing some diving and that kind of thing. And there's a big event coming up. I don't know. Is it tied into the reef celebration in September that you're going down there for in the Keys or what? What is it?
Yeah, it's all pretty much Reef Lionfish Derbies, one of their sponsored derbies. And it's at Key Largo. And
yeah,
it's just a great event. Kill some lionfish, dive some beautiful reefs. You're in the Pinnacamp Park, so there's great, you know, great things to see.
Right. And but is
this part of the reef crawl?
I don't think it's reef crawl. I think isn't it in? Is it tied into this thing, Reef Fest?
Yeah, Reef Fest is a big part of it. It's going on like a long weekend. The Derby actually takes place Saturday, and it's sponsored mostly by Reef, but.
But that's in September. What are the dates? Do you have that in front of you? I can look it up. I think it's, you know, Reef. If you go to reef.org, Reef is putting this event together with a few of their supporters.
Yeah, they've got a few things. 2015, they've got July. Well, this August is gone. So what's left is September 12th, Key Largo, Pinnacamp State Park.
That's right. Yeah, the 12th. That's what I remember. I mean, as a matter of fact, I believe they're going to have the Scuba Cowboy play down there as well. So we're talking to some people and seeing if we can work it out to come down there. But you're going to participate in the Lionfish Derby. Is that the deal?
I'll be down there in the Lionfish Derby. I kind of twisted the old crazy dog back into crazy dog dive team. So
yeah, crazy dog scuba.
Remember Ken, the dive master, he'll be down there.
All right, awesome. Yeah. Crazy dog scuba was Casey's dive shop back in the day. Now, you're out over on the left coast of Florida, Tampa, St. Pete area. Am I right? Out there somewhere?
Tampa, St. Pete, Newport Richey area. Yeah, I'm going to start doing some diving over here, and maybe I'll call and let you know what the lionfish situation is.
You didn't get out for lobster season, though, it sounds like.
Didn't get out for lobster season. Had a wonderful experience with a broken hand, and I'm getting the bandages off Tuesday. So.
Got it. Okay. All right. But as soon as you get that done, then you'll be ready to do some more diving.
Boat's ready to go. Gear's ready to go. I'm ready to go. We'll be calling in for you.
Very nice. What's your favorite way to prepare lobster and lionfish? Do you have a recipe? I know you...
Actually, both the meats are so good. Mm. I like mixing them up in ceviche. I love just doing them with fresh veggies and a lot of lime juice and a cold Corona.
Really? So do
after the dive.
Lobster ceviche as well as...
lobster, lionfish, ceviche. Yeah.
Oh, both. You mix them together?
Mix them together.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that's a new twist on it. For sure. I've had lionfish ceviche, which is just phenomenal. I mean, that's really, really good. But I never thought about mixing up the lobster into that as well. Does the lobster meat kind of take over as far as the taste?
It just kind of blends all together to make that, you know, that sweet lobster taste.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, yeah.
The lionfish kind of takes anything. I mean, but you can, I guess, consistency, you can tell a little bit of difference. It just seems like a lot more meat and a lot more... ceviche.
Nice. I don't know. What do you think there, Pete? Do you got a favorite recipe for your lobster when you do catch them? How did you serve up that lobster, that giant 11-pounder or 16-pounder, I should say?
We grilled him.
Grilled him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Grilled him, and I like lobster that's grilled, but like I said, the outer was sort of crusty, and the inside was still...
Still
rubbery.
Yeah, interesting. Here, let me share a recipe that Walt DeMartini shared with the Scuba Radio crew last week. And I don't think he'll mind, but this was quite a creative grilling technique that he took the Scuba Cowboys tails and served them up for us as appetizers. He split them down the middle and butterflied the Florida spiny lobster tail. and did a deep cut. So he actually cut into the meat as well as cutting through the top of the shell straight down and butterflied them open. So kind of split them open a little bit. And obviously got some butter. Well, first he took he split a lime in half, so a half a lime per lobster tail. Squeezed the lime or lemon juice. I'm sorry, lemon juice on each lobster tail, half a lemon, and then he took butter as you would expect. But then he took oregano, and he put that on there, and then he had this all covered up, lots of butter and stuff. And he said the trick to this now, and garlic salt. Throw some garlic salt in there too. And then the trick to it is you take a couple leaves of lettuce and you lay that over the lobster tail, and the lettuce, when you put it on the grill, will push the butter, oregano, garlic salt, lime juice into the meat and make it just that much tender. And then once you cook them, you take the lettuce and discard it. You don't eat it or nothing. That lettuce is just used to force those elements into the lobster tail to make them even juicier.
It's kind of like wrapping it in a banana leaf.
Exactly.
It?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. A little twist on that. Now, he didn't have any lettuce, so he didn't use it. And I got to tell you, it was tender as the way he cooked it without the lettuce. So I can only imagine if you add that element to it. So there's an interesting little recipe. That was a new one that
I
hadn't really seen.
That's how we used to cook rock shrimp.
Well, okay.
That's a rock shrimp recipe.
That's a rock shrimp recipe, according to Pete from Scuba Board. But I'll tell you what, it's a recipe that I want to explore further. And we will right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Who's hungry? No, I'm getting hungry.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we got Bubble Boy in the studio. Casey has joined us now, as well as Pete from Scuba Board and Jerry the Diver Guy. But also on the phone from Denver's Aquarium, I got Big Wave Dave. He's doing a big event out there as part of Shark Week, which I don't know. Well, how did that work, Dave? They kind of messed up a little bit, not being the Denver Aquarium.
They didn't mess up.
Yeah.
Discovery Channel has always had Shark Week in August, and this year, because of your being in Sharknado 3, they moved Shark Week. So
that's right.
They couldn't move the date, so Shark Week here.
So it's my fault, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you and that Sharknado 3.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll accept blame. Well, why not? It wouldn't be the first time where I get blamed for something. But anyway, yeah, so Denver Aquarium, they were planning this Shark Week thing. Kind of messed up because Discovery Channel changed their week of Shark Week. But they're still focusing on promoting shark conservation and that kind of stuff at the Denver Aquarium. And you have the Be a Diver pool set up there. Right there in front of the aquarium or inside the aquarium?
Kind of in front, where across where the main parking lot was, right across from the aquarium, the downtown aquarium.
Got it.
They got a big bunch of shark conservation tents set up. People can get shark teeth. They're just kind of promoting to save the sharks and learn to dive. In fact, what's cool is they're diving here, and if they like it so much, they can discover scuba right in the aquarium tank with all the fish.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, most of the aquariums across the country have a program like that, but they do that at the Denver Aquarium as well, and you can dive through some of the exhibits and different habitats that they have on display there in Denver, or what?
Yeah, they have two tanks. They've got a regular reef tank. They can do snorkel or do scuba scuba or be certified diving it. And they also, you can dive in their shark tank if you're a certified diver.
Awesome. So that's going on this weekend at the Denver Aquarium, and then you're off to where next with the Be a Diver pool?
Next weekend I'll be heading out to Bonaire with a group of Wounded Warriors, taking them down to get them certified and show them the great diving in Bonaire.
Excellent. Big Wave Dave from the Be a Diver pool in Denver this week, and then we'll have to check in with him after he works with those Wounded Warriors. Great work. Great promotion for diving. And you should take advantage of catching up with him next time he's out and about. BeADiver.com. Go there and find out where he'll be.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Infotainment.
We're lost children of the sea.
Ooh. Oh. Holy diver, Batman. It's Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right, Bubble Boy in here. We're having a good old time. Have you ever dove? You've never done the aquarium thing, have you, Bubble
No,
Boy?
No, I haven't. I would like to do it, though.
Yeah, you know, we had that option here at Epcot at Disney World, and I've done that a couple times. It's been a while, but maybe we need to get out there and do that. That is a cool experience you need to mark off the list. I'm not so sure. I would say it's the best option in the world as a diver because we have so many ocean options available to us where you never know what you're going to see. But the plus of jumping into an aquarium like Denver Aquarium where Dave is this week is that, you know, they have such a dense population of different critters, you're guaranteed to see some pretty interesting stuff. And I'm guessing Casey, Jerry, and Pete, who we have connected via the web today, can vouch for me on this as well. Let's start with you, Casey. Have you done any aquarium dives or no?
Yes, I have. I've been in the aquarium over here in Tampa.
Yeah,
it's fabulous
okay.
dive.
Absolutely.
And if you rummage through the garbage way down the bottom of your memory, Greg, we did Marineland.
Oh, that's right. Yes. This was the original aquarium.
The original Marineland. We've been in. We've met the oldest dolphin in captivity in the world.
Yep. But, you know, it's crazy. And in that place, I mean, the facility was old then. And that was like 15 years ago at least. And, you know, and it was a little small, but it, you know, was the first aquarium ever made, you know, and, you know, despite how you feel about aquariums or SeaWorld and all that kind of stuff, my feeling is it has its place. Not everybody has the luxury or the wherewithal to become a scuba diver. And those of us who belong to this exclusive club are obviously very fortunate to be able to see these animals in the wild. But, you know, 99% of the rest of the population doesn't have that ability. Or can't, or for whatever reason, has not jumped in the water like we have. And aquariums have their place to hopefully inspire people to want to protect the underwater environment. It may not be
so. What you're saying that aquariums are for the stupid people who don't go scuba diving.
You know, they're for the bubble watchers that aren't smart enough to take advantage of what we have and what we know. We're just
the tank breathing challenged, let's call them.
Yes, they are just you know, they don't know what they're missing out on, and not everybody can be as enlightened as us. So look, let's take it for what it is. We are geniuses, and everybody else are just dumb. And they just don't know any better. But, you know, hey, it is an exclusive club. And for those people that can't have that luxury and aren't taking the hint by listening to this goofy little show we do every week, you know, at least they have aquariums to go to that hopefully will inspire them a little bit to want to protect what they can't see underwater. So they have their role, even though what I was getting at, that I would agree with a lot of people that aquariums aren't necessarily the ideal place where I'd like to see a lot of the critters, you know, held up in these tanks and stuff like that. But, you know, they have their role. You can, you know, the other side of it, they're ambassadors for all their brothers and sisters in the wild. Are you with me on this, Pete, or am I?
I agree. You know, until you mentioned Marineland, I was thinking I'd never dove an aquarium. And I said, oh, hell yeah, I've been in Marineland. That was a cool dive.
It was.
Was a fun dive because you got to see sort of behind the scenes how they did that stuff. It's sort of like diving Wiki Watchy. You get to see all the setups, all the staging.
True. And
I still remember the sawtooth shark down the bottom of the tank.
Absolutely. It was massive. I mean, Marineland had been around so many years at that point. They had so many different animals in this tank It took a skill just not to bump into stuff on your way down to the bottom. I mean, there were fish everywhere. I mean, the unfortunate reality is you'd never see this in the wild on the other side of the coin. So, you know, you do get a dense picture of marine life and the diversity that may not be totally representative of what we would get in Florida per se, but you'll see some cool stuff like a sawtooth shark that was probably like an 8 or 9 footer from what I remember. It was pretty big boy, and he was like, "Hey, don't get too close."
Dove over here with the Tampa Aquarium near the Port of Tampa.
Yeah.
And the diving in there is pretty phenomenal, too. And they run a good program.
Yeah. Well, you know, all the different aquariums have interesting critters. Probably the one most notable, at least where we're at, based out of Florida. I mean, in Orlando, where we're based out of. Florida Aquarium's one thing, but you go up to Atlanta and goes to the Georgia Aquarium, they got whale sharks. And that's crazy.
Wow.
And
that's on my to-do list for this.
Can you actually dive with whale sharks up there?
Yeah, I'm not absolutely positive they let you in that tank, but I think they do.
How big is that tank?
It is one of the biggest in the world, I believe.
Wow.
Whether it's still big enough for whale sharks, that's up for debate, and a lot of people have conflicting views on that. But it is impressive. I mean, you go up there and you see what they got in the tank there. And I mean, not just one, but I think they have like 2 or 3 whale sharks.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. It's insane.
That's
have
huge.
You done the whale sharks in Cozumel, Greg?
In the wild, you mean?
Yeah, where, you know, the Cozumel thing, I remember like there were 60 or so whale sharks all together. It was just...
Well, they're all
amazing.
They're all through the Baja and Cabo San Lucas and Isla Mujer Islands out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't been to that part, but I have seen them, you know, off of the Bay Islands, and we actually I had a great experience with a couple whale sharks on our Maldives trip. So, you know, different places in the world you might run into a whale shark, and I'd much prefer always to run into these animals in the wild than in an aquarium and that kind of thing. But once again, it goes back to the situation where a lot of people don't have that luxury. You know what I'm saying? They don't have they don't belong to this exclusive club. I mean, sometimes we take our diving skills and the fact that we're able to do this for granted. You know what I mean?
And we get to travel too, Greg. I mean, when I went at the Socorros and got to dive with the mantas, you know, how many people get to do that?
Not very many. We're very
fortunate.
How many
divers get to do that?
Yeah. Well, exactly. The chance of seeing a manta in the wild, not likely unless you go to some very exclusive places like, the Galapagos or something like that. But, you know, we're talking big, you know, big ticket trips and cost and things like that. So, unfortunately, you got to go to these really remote places sometimes. It'll cost you an arm and a leg to have that kind of experience. But nothing, you know, it's hard to, it's hard to put a price on that, too, once you've done it. Would you agree, Pete?
It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. If you don't experience it, you're going to die a loser.
That's right. That's when we have our bucket lists, right?
I definitely agree. I just got my video up of my time on the Bellamy on the Socorros, and it's just awesome. It's awesome to look at again and remember the majesty of a 20-plus-foot manta, you know, occluding the sun as he passes over me.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a situation in the Galapagos where we had so many manta rays on our dive that you couldn't look in any direction and not see like 4 or 5 of them. I mean, they were literally littered around the entire water column. You got to the surface. Some of them are floating on the surface. I mean, they were everywhere. And then we got out of the water. And as soon as I got out of the water, my buddy yelled at me and said, "Greg, killer whale." And we ended up following a pod of 8 killer whales for, 20 minutes in our chase boats. So, I mean, that is a unique once-in-a-lifetime experience. I have no doubt about it. But they exist, and it's just right place, right time. And that's the beautiful thing about going diving and being in the ocean, because you never know. I mean, one day you might see nothing. Next day you might see a ton of stuff. And surprise.
You never know.
Yeah, that's what makes it interesting and, more entertaining to me from the
standpoint. Well, I don't know about you, Greg, but I've never seen nothing when I'm underwater.
Yeah. Never seen nothing, huh?
Never seen nothing.
True.
I see
there's always
lots
something.
Of stuff.
That's right. There's always something. I don't know, Jerry, what do you think? There's all these things. Have you marked these off your list or you still have to? What do you think?
Well, some of this stuff I've marked off, but some of the I'm getting ready to. I was sitting here looking. They still offer Journey with the Gentle Giants at Georgia Aquarium, and I am actually planning on doing that this winter.
Well, there you go. So it's on your list, and you.
I'm going to add it to mine.
Yeah, I mean it's an amazing facility they got up there in Atlanta for sure. But once again, if you go see them in the wild and find out where they're going to be, there are some places, like you said, in Cozumel, where they congregate at certain times of the year, and some liveaboard dive operators go out there and do that kind of thing, or you can go spend a few days. So there's always stuff to add to that list. That bucket list seems to just keep getting longer and longer. All right, more coming up.
The Dive Master sitting by the phone now, wishing it would ring, hoping that it's you on the other end of the line. Tug on his line now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's Nanook.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
Before you jet off to your next exotic dive destination, brush up on your scuba skills with Paddy Reactivate. The all-new Reactivate program is designed to update divers on the fundamental scuba skills and dive principles, giving you the skills you need to jump back in and dive with confidence. Show off your new Paddy replacement certification card and your refreshed skills on your trip when you reactivate. Contact your local Paddy Dive Center, resort, or instructor and get started today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
She loves to dive, dive, dive. She loves to dive, dive, dive. She loves to dive, 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 dive. I think you found your love, 'cause you can go diving today. It's you I'm jealous of. How did you end up this way? She says she loves to, and you know we think that's rad. Yes, she loves to, and you know we are so glad. She said she heard this show, it almost blew her mind, called Scuba Radio, the first show of its kind. She says she loves to, and you know we think that's rad. Yes, she loves to, and you know we are so glad. Woo! She loves to dive, dive, dive. She loves to dive, dive, dive. For a dive like that, you know you should be glad. For a dive like that, you know you should be glad. For a dive like that, you know we are so glad.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Might have broke a few glasses with that one, but that's just what we do here. The Dive God is on the phone. Neil Watson, how are you, my friend? Welcome.
Greg, good man. Good. I just got back from the Keys about 15 minutes ago.
Actually. Okay. Well, there you go. So you were you went from Bugfest down to the Keys, and now you're back with us today. As we, I know you have a little anecdote you want to share about Sharknado 3 that I appeared in and premiered right, well, at the same time we were doing Bugfest. And we were talking a little bit off the air last week, and Neil shares this story. He says, Greg, I know you're attempting to contribute to the worst movie ever made, but you told me that you actually had a movie that you worked that you think could have been actually worse than this. Is that right, Neil?
You know, there's a good possibility, I worked in this. I worked in this movie in 1978 when I was living in Bimini. I wasn't even sure it was ever released because, you know, this is back before you had Netflix and satellite and all of this stuff.
Right.
And I just worked in this horrible movie and then forgot about it. And when we started talking about it, I researched and I found it on Amazon Prime Movies. So if you're a member of Amazon Prime, it's free. And it was released in 1978.
Yeah.
And after 30-something years of working in this thing, I watched it this week, and it's pretty bad. I mean, it's like.
Well, I don't know. I watched really the I watched the first 10 minutes of it, and it looked like a pretty good scene to me. But
well, you know, if it had better actors and cinematography and special effects, it probably would have been an entertaining movie, but it was a low budget, and I was involved in support of the underwater scenes, and we shot it off of Bimini down at Turtle Rocks, and it was the theme of the movie is about barracudas and a town in Florida and some chemical outfall or something, and the barracudas go crazy and they start attacking everybody.
It could happen.
And really. And the one thing I remember is they had this great movie prop, and it was a hand severed at the wrist with tendons sticking out and stuff. And we had the diver, the actors, you know, off Bimini. And I'm pouring like gallons of this red dye. I mean, you could have slaughtered a herd of elephants and not come up with that much blood. I mean, we had a blood slick going.
Yeah.
And we got these barracudas that were pushing into the people like they're attacking them. And actually, there's a blooper in there. If you can stop it, you can see, I don't know, there's my hand or somebody's hand pushing the thing into the frame. but we're coming back after the shoot. And I had this hand laying up on the console of my boat behind the, you know, the steering wheel.
Right.
So we get into the dock, and I asked the producer, I said, hey, can I have use this thing for a little bit? And he said, yeah, Neil, I don't care. So I've got this gross-looking hand, and I'm running around the hotel scaring the maids and the girls in the kitchen and stuff. So I walk out in the street, and I see my wife riding down the street in Bimini on her bicycle, and she's like just was an ex-nurse and everything. So I grabbed a towel and I wrapped this hand around my arm, and I'm bent over and I'm walking down the street, and she rides up and says, what's going on? What's going on? I said, honey, I said, I got to get to the clinic. I said, I got caught in the prop, and I stuck my hand out and I dropped this arm and it fell on the ground. And I've never seen a look like this in my life. My wife is just like, I mean, she screamed. She fell off of the bicycle, and then I realized, well, maybe this isn't funny.
Well, wait, like, just for the record, that's your ex-wife, right?
Yeah, I picked this arm up, and you know, I'm a pretty tough guy, and I don't fear much. This might have been the most frightened I've ever been in my life for my life. I mean, she had this look of rage, and literally, thank God, you couldn't carry guns in the Bahamas. And I mean, I took off running like crazy. And I mean, I'm not married anymore. That might have had something to do with it.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Yeah.
But if you're a member of Prime, whatever it is, that
Amazon
movie,
Prime. Right?
Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of entertaining, but the other, I mean, the scenes, I mean, they're diving, not with just horsepower VCs, they're diving with no VCs.
Exactly. It was how it was done back in the day, and the dive guide was there. It sounds like a movie marathon to me. A perfect warm-up to Sharknado 3, and then Barracuda, what, the Lucifer or something? Is that what it is, Bubble Boy? What is it say?
Yeah, it's Barracuda Nature Fights Back.
There you go. All right, we'll leave it at that for this week. Till next time, remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Safe diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.